Live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas,
it's Cofield and Company.
Here we go, 5 o'clock hour. We go in the not-so-wayback machine. It's time for a Mac attack. A Big Mac attack. Circa Las Vegas, Stadium Swim. Thursday Night Football is coming up. We got college football on as well. Maybe not so interested in the game that kicked off early. ODU and Georgia Southern. That one's 20-0, 10 minutes left in the half. But Syracuse and Pitt are going at it. Pitt is unbeaten. And I don't like Pat Narduzzi, so. But I also don't like Syracuse, so this is a living hell for me. It's 10-0, 6 minutes in. Panthers lead it. And again, they're 6-0. McKinnell's here. I'm going to get to college football. This is my lifelong dream since I was, believe it or not, I realized that college football system was stupid in 1983.
When you're old enough to think for yourself.
Yes.
Once I became a man, I put away
I don't even know if I was a man. I watched college football, and I got to the end of the year, and I was like, wait, they just name someone the champion? Like, you don't play it out?
Yeah.
Like, wait, every other sport, they have playoffs.
What was the split that I lived through? Nebraska and Michigan in 97, Charles Woodson, 98?
97, yeah.
Yeah. I went to the Holiday Bowl the year before and saw Tyrone Wheatley. I remember I saw a good hunk of that team, and then the following year, whatever it was, it might have been 95 to 97, and then that happened. And, yeah, it was probably similar. I was, like, 14 years old. I was like, this is dumb. Yeah. Clearly not a winner. Clearly no.
The pageant.
Yeah.
Shove the pageantry. Yeah. Play it out. Yeah. Want to see it on the field.
And look at the era we live in now, which is so much further in the opposite direction, yep. Right? This is exactly what, well, at least for myself, a lot of us hope for. And being a Notre Dame fan, being, you know, raised in South Bend, you know, Notre Dame is,
well,
you know, we'll get to it.
Yeah. You guys control your own destiny. Mm-hmm. They've had a knock against them. But give me like 2 minutes. So we're set up here at Circa Las Vegas. And, you know, Big Mac's doing a ton of radio with SiriusXM. He's on the Combat Channel, properly called SiriusXM Fight Nation. I feel like there's a rebranding. Am I right on this?
An actual name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It
used to
Fight
be
Nation?
Well, yeah. It used to be Rush. When we first launched, you were part of that,
I
obviously.
Was part of that, yes.
You were. OG Fight Mind himself, Las Vegas' own Steve Cofield.
Uncle Steve, I was the old man.
Yeah, you still are.
I wasn't always the bringer of wisdom. I would get a little mad.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why we love you.
We all
I mean, I feel like that's a prerequisite for being on the airwaves is to yell at people and not get offended. And you're very, very good at that. But yeah, it's Fight Nation. We actually have a name. Quick plug, tomorrow I'm on with ESPN, our pal Andreas Hale. We got Francis Ngannou kicking off the show at 9 o'clock, first hour.
We got to get
very excited for that.
Frankie N towards the end of this hour because Dana White had some stuff to say about dream fights and all that. So we'll get some audio on that one. But here's the deal: we've done hundreds of shows together.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you're one of the toughest foils that I face. There's bickering, there's loudness, and now I feel like you've just pulled a Nick Sirianni on me. Did you see what Sirianni did 2 weeks ago? Eagles. He starts getting into it with the fans, and then he knows he's going to get tough questions in a press conference. He brings his kid to the press conference. Like, here you go. Come here, Junior. Human shield.
Yeah, I brought a human shield this time for the cabana out here at Stadium Swim.
And I'm a little scared because she's tougher than you.
She's my enforcer. You're not kidding.
Well, you learned your lessons.
I brought my mom. Yeah, I learned my lessons. That's why I have such a clear sense of respect. And respecting my elders, you know what I mean? That comes from the lady to my left. But now she just got into town today.
Nice.
I'm going to go grab some food afterwards. Figured, hey, Thursday Night Football. She loves sports more than I do. When the Cubs went to the series in 2016, right, so we went to the White Sox game one back in 2005 in the World Series. She went solo to the Indians game against the Cubs. Like, she was at the John Wooden game when UCLA lost to Notre Dame. And Notre Dame snapped the streak in the 70s. She saw Magic Johnson play in high school. Back in Michigan, like she's seen a lot more stuff than you and I have, and we've seen a lot of stuff.
I noticed that when Brad Powers was on giving out all the football picks, you were like looking around, headphones off, watching the TVs, waving to people outside. Your mom's on the headphones, like,
oh yeah, she's locked in. She actually listens to you back in Indiana. I don't know why. Yeah,
what are you talking about?
Or maybe boy's not on. What reason would she possibly have to listen to your show if I'm not on? No, I'm just kidding.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, well, you know what? That business taken care of. First, let's talk about Notre Dame.
Let's do.
Because without you around on a regular basis, I don't get enough Notre Dame in my life. And you guys are from South Bend. You were back there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go?
Yeah, what game you think I went to?
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. First game in like 10 years. Oh, yeah. Home opener, 73 degrees, tailgated for like 3 hours. Got the perfect buzz. Win it. And I'll tell you what. Obviously, I'm talking about the NIU upset,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
and what was so – I mean, there was a lot of funny things about that day that I could get into. But the best part was as I'm watching with my buddy that I grew up with, my buddy Joel. We grew up since kindergarten together. Lived right across the street from me. We had oddly never been – we tailgated a ton of games, but we had never went together. So we go together, perfect day. Like I said, I'm back at the stadium. It's where I grew up. Friends sold programs there. We tailgated in seventh grade. You know what I mean? It's just way of life out there. And throughout the entirety of that game, NIU came out with a great opening run. I think it was like 20 yards. We're like, okay, we'll be fine. Then they score and we're like, okay, we'll be fine. Halftime comes, we're down. Okay, it's fine. They're not actually going to lose to NIU. Even up until that final drive where Riley Leonard threw the interception at the end of the game, I thought we would be fine. It was just, there was no way we're going to lose to NIU. But I'll tell you this. I mentioned the 2005 World Series that we went to for the White Sox. We went to the only game that the White Sox lost in that entire playoff run. It was game one of the ALCS against the Anaheim Angels and Garrett Anderson, right? I'm hoping that this becomes a similar story. The only game that I go to for the Irish is the game they lost to NIU, but they somehow put on a miracle run and lead their team to a national championship. Because there's two things I need, Steve, and I only need one. I need a Chicago Bears Super Bowl in my life, and I need a Notre Dame national championship in my life. So,
what was the tailgating like?
Oh, it was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, and listen, Notre Dame is not known for their parties. Like, if you get into Notre Dame, you're not necessarily a partier. I'm not saying it's a bad place to go or anything like that. I'm just saying in terms of, like, game day experience and, like, you know, having a party and catching a buzz, yeah, might not be the best for it. I would say go to IU, right? Go to Michigan. Go to Ann Arbor if you're looking for that. You'll have a much better time in that regard. But for me, being in the 574, being back in South Bend with all my friends and people I hadn't seen in years, and again, the weather was perfect. It was like 72 degrees. I've had openers where it's like 92 and I'm purple and I feel like I'm legitimately going to die. So it was like, I cannot express to you how perfect the day was, right? Perfect. Best day. Right up until the end result.
Amazing. I don't think I ever talked to you about the UNLV game I went to cover at South Bend and details. One of the things, and I didn't drive around a bunch, that is quite the difference between the campus and that region.
Yeah.
I'm not saying all parts of South Bend are rough, but that's not Shangri-La around the campus.
No. And I'll tell
you
what,
right around the campus is nice. Like, so I went to the linebacker lounge.
Yeah, yeah.
That was freaking cool. I had old ladies, nothing against older women. But I think that's their stick. They have bartenders there who've been there for like 40 years and they're like, "What do you want?" I'm like, "All right, these are my people."
I was going to say, that's right in your wheelhouse. Are you kidding me? Like, old lady bartenders yell at you? Like, I feel like that's a prerequisite of your Yelp reviews. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
It was one of those, like, the menu's there. They're like, "You ready to order?" And I hesitated for a second. She just walked right away.
Yeah. What do you want? All right.
All right.
It's a game day weekend, bud. Yeah. We got to keep it moving.
It's a great place.
I mean, it is. And the whole city comes alive, the whole town. But I'll tell you what. So you talk about only going there 2 years ago, I think it was. I felt so bad about missing that trip. I was down in Florida for, you know, family obligations. I couldn't be there. I so wanted to show you around the town and maybe go to Chicago, but we'll save that for another time. If you think it's, you know, dodgy 2 years ago, you should have seen what it was like 15, 20 years ago.
Oh, really? It's on
before
the
comeback? I mean, it was never – they never put – the church and Notre Dame never put money back into the city. They never built anything up. Student housing, nothing. It was like a – it was like a fallout zone. It was insane, right? It has gotten exponentially better. And then there's the town of Mishawaka where I went to high school and where I grew up, which is like 2 miles away from the stadium. That's a little bit nicer. It's got like more neighborhoods, more shopping, and all of that. But when you look at Notre Dame and obviously the university, you don't go there to catch a buzz, right? You don't go there to tailgate. You don't go there to party and get ridiculous like that. You go there to be enveloped in the history, in the tradition of, you know, college sports has a lot of lore and a lot of tradition and a lot of history, and Notre Dame is a huge part of that. So I don't know how you can be a sports fan and not make at least one trip there.
No, it was awesome.
Yeah.
And whatever that open mall area in front of Touchdown Jesus is, that was awesome.
Did you go to the Italian restaurant sunny Italy that I suggested you go to.
We didn't
where
get
the
there.
Priests go. Okay.
We didn't get there.
All right.
That would have been cool.
Hey, you got to save something for the next trip, and I promise you, I will be there. I will be there next trip.
So the game, well, first of all, like I said, the playoffs cool because what we're getting is all these stories where it would never happen, right? Like
right.
Pittsburgh would have like a 1% chance of 1% to get in, but they're in a position where they can get in the field. Army and Navy converging on a, like, what is this, 1952?
It is
right?
Really
they're both unbeaten.
To see them.
Now they're in the same conference. They both play Notre Dame. Notre Dame controls their destiny and obviously their own. This game's dangerous.
Sure.
Against Navy. I mean, so against Army, because you don't play schools like that on a regular basis. And
we
the
do.
Eye discipline,
we
well,
do.
You do.
Yeah,
but,
we do.
But these games are not easy against the option.
And they proved that. I mean, both of those teams.
Navy's been amazingly competitive in the series.
Yes, they have, especially in recent memory. And you're right, that option, which is amazing that they – it's kind of like in fighting, right, where you have this, like, subpar, just very average fighter, like a Ryan Hall or whoever you want to use, like a specialist, right, that is going out and doing one thing consistently over and over again and having positive – results. I don't know how Navy does it.
Against Orion Hall, right? What was he? Yeah. Was he the heel guy?
Yeah, it was the heel hook
guy. So he's a heel hook guy, right?
And he just kept doing that over.
And that's the thing. You fight him, and you're like, I'm on point. This is easy. I'm on point. Like, it's easy.
I'm going to stop the ankle.
But then, like, a four-second lapse, yep. And you might have your ankle broken. And that's the thing with Navy, Army, and Air Force. If they have got good athletes on offense and an elite quarterback, they just keep doing the same thing over and over again, and you blow, like, four plays. You might get hit with a deep shot, or you might get hit with a 40-yard run, and it happens four times, and all of a sudden you're like, wait, this is a game?
Yeah, and I will say this. It would be my hope, and I guess the hope of all Irish backers, bettors, and fans, excuse me, that Notre Dame got their trap game out of the way, right? I guess that's the positive that you look at Northern Illinois, and you look at that game in the way that it shook the town. I mean, if you the local news reports and the post-game press conferences and when the players were asked about it, it was a very interesting time because, you know, Notre Dame's been around 100-plus years, right? They've been in the zeitgeist. They've been a part of sports and specifically college sports for as long as everyone on this planet has been alive. And I don't know if they've suffered a more disappointing loss than that NIU loss with the expectations being fifth-ranked in the country, right? Everything going into it. And then this team, it's essentially like my alma mater, Ball State, coming in and beating you. Like, that cannot happen. But the fact that it did, you turn the leaf, obviously you have the Louisville game, right? You're making strides, you're beating these better teams, and you're looking better also. You're looking like a functioning team with a really dangerous three-headed running attack, right? With Price and Love and obviously their quarterback, Riley Leonard. If you go out there and you use that NIU game as a lesson, which they seemingly have, and you use it as the benchmark for all other trap games to come, I think you put yourself in a good position to obviously make the playoff and go out and do something special. We'll see. Obviously, you know, you got to get through a lot more games and a lot more emotion and potential roadblocks, but I like where the Irish are at.
I got to mention one thing on the negative side about this game, and I hate it with a passion. I hate that this game's not in Annapolis. Yeah. And I know it's a smaller venue. And then I was like, oh, it must be in Baltimore. I'm like, wait, it's in New Jersey?
That's why you should love that.
Well, it's good for you.
That's your
stomping
grounds.
Because you guys have, you know, the Northern Jersey especially is
basically
like
home field.
Catholic High School,
yeah.
Central.
Yeah,
they've recruited players from there forever. So it's good for Notre Dame. But not that Navy won't have fans.
They will.
But, man, the setup down the stretch here. You know what? I'm going to say this. Because I'm not a – I consider myself a patriot, but not by the stupid definition of a lot of people now.
Right.
If Army or Navy go unbeaten and Boise State with one loss gets voted ahead of them
– yeah. We riot.
The voters are terrible Americans.
Yeah. Communist, basically.
And I
want an investigation. I'm going to bring McCarthyism back, and I want each one of them, right? I want each one of them looked at and run through with the fine-tooth comb because somebody's on the take.
Even the people in Idaho, which probably is the leading state with patriots.
Yeah.
You have to root for Army or Navy to get in over your school. No, they're not going to do that.
Yeah.
But what a story.
It is. It's
this
fantastic.
This is unbelievable.
Now, as Brad Powers highlighted in the last segment, right, they haven't played anybody.
Yes.
Huge test, obviously, against Notre Dame. But here's the thing. They've had that test before, and they've come out on the other end victorious. Now, they've actually got a record and some momentum to back it up. Now, that could mean something in terms of Notre Dame's preparation. I don't know. I'm not on the inside of that
team.
But
here's the thing. At the end of the year, if Army or Navy's unbeaten, that will have meant, because there's another quirk here, the AAC title game exists. They're in a conference. They have to play in a title game. They might have to play each other again. But if they get through it unbeaten, and Notre Dame is a win on their ledger, and they get by the rest of the AAC, Boise This is why this game, not only does Boise have to win this game against UNLV, but it's got to do it with style points. They have to blow UNLV off the field. No. Because at the end of the year, you could look at Boise's resume and go, eh, pretty good. And Oregon. But Army or Navy could go, hey, Notre Dame is right there. Because I don't know if Oregon is – they're not the number one team in the country. I don't know who is. That's the whole point of having the
playoff. Well, that's also what's great about the playoff this year specifically. As a Notre Dame fan, I sit here and look at, you know, the way it's laid out. I'm licking my chops because in years prior, Saban, Sweeney, the teams they put together were seemingly unbeatable. And we saw that. When Notre Dame really showed – I know they beat Clemson a few years ago, but that was an injury-depleted Clemson team. They didn't have Trevor Lawrence. They had like half their defense missing. You know, clearly the Irish were outmatched in those situations. As we head into this season and we get further along and we get closer to this playoff, I feel like more than ever that they're positioned, and not just them, other teams. That's what's so great. The parity, and I know people have their feelings about NIL. The fact that there isn't that dominant team is really exciting to me. And I'll take it a step further as you talk about Army and Navy and the possibility of them being undefeated and what you would want. I don't think in the 12-team playoff era there should be any undefeated team sitting on the outside of the playoff. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's Grambling. I do not care who the university is. If they are undefeated and they have taken no losses, I don't know how you work it out. I don't care, but they have to be in a 12-team playoff. They just do. The O means something. I don't care what their strength of schedule is.
Griffin, I know you and McKinnell share the Bearsdom together, but you're not from territories that are near each other. So I assume, how do you feel about this Notre Dame talk? Like, am I making you sick to your stomach because I seem to be very, like, into the Notre Dame thing?
Absolutely not. Along with being a Bears fan, the classic film Rudy also made me a Notre Dame fan.
Oh, you're a nightmare. You're from Utah.
It's 1993, right? Come on. All right. He's a 90s man. We get it.
Let me get back to my center.
Find your North Star.
Because Notre Dame is not all good.
No.
I won't mention St. Mary's College. But I will use that as a – because that's a sick story. I will use that as a jumping off point to go in a completely different direction.
Just drop that bomb.
Because I'm gonna throw it out there. Okay. You and I texted a little bit. Mm-hmm. I love TV. I love sports TV. I love sports TV documentaries because I find I'm probably a simpleton and a moron. That's been proven. But I forget and I miss a lot of stuff in the moment. And maybe other people are like that. But as you know, time goes along, you experience these sports stories, but you don't know all the details. And I don't want to see deep dive journalism didn't exist because it did. Stuff didn't come to the surface because social media didn't exist 30, 40 years ago. The Vince McMahon documentary, you and I tweeted or texted back and forth on it. What a giant pile of dung. And there are people who like McMahon who are like, their friends who are like, oh, that was a hatchet job. I'm like, hatchet job? That was a freaking, how many episodes was it? Four, six?
Five, six.
It was hours of tribute to McMahon with like, oh, but here, this. Like it was a little mention, all of the stuff with women and the fight. You know, I'll tell you the other thing. In my career, if I could have been punched in the face, not by David Schultz, because I remember that one too.
When he slapped
Stossel. Yep. He kind of deserved it. But watching McMahon try to intimidate reporters, I don't think I could have sat there.
Yeah, no. You wouldn't have been in Bob Costas' seat laughing at him and like kind of like playing with the nerves.
I think Costas did a pretty good job. He did what he could.
He did.
But I don't think I could have. And people out there are like, oh, you would have sat there. I'm like, I don't know.
Maybe go back
and watch the interviews that I did with John Copenhaver.
Yeah.
And listen to audio with Tim Sylvia when he said he was going to smack the sports pig in the face. I don't care.
Nope.
But that was his existence, was the bully existence.
And he wore that on his sleeve.
He didn't do it like – it wasn't shrimps like me.
Yeah.
Big mouths like me. Little guys. He would do it to big guys and ruin careers and ruin lives. And documentary like barely covered that.
Well, that's the thing. I think when you look at the Yes Men and the Pritchards, Bruce Pritchards of the world and others, right? Even like Triple H and Stephanie, his daughter, to this day, still – don't hammer them at all, really, right? They still – Stephanie, when the day that Vince left the company the first time a couple years ago, led a thank you Vince chant to the live crowd, fully knowing on some level, right, how perverse and sick her father is. And the allegations have been around – here's the other thing about that documentary. half the people who watched it were like, oh my God, can you believe this documentary? This Vince McMahon guy. I mean, I knew he was wild, but he's a bad dude. And then the other half, people that have followed pro wrestling, right? That know the stories and have heard these. And I'm not even just talking about me being a part of Busted Open for years and knowing guys on the other side of that aisle, right? I'm not even talking about inside information. This is common knowledge. Wrestling fans were like, this was a fluff piece. They did Vince a favor. This wasn't half as bad as Netflix. If they really put their homework behind it and they really told the stories that deserved to be telling and really went out and did their due diligence, other than having, mind you, Monday Night Raw goes to Netflix in January. The flagship WWE show goes to Netflix in a few months on a massive, massive deal. Don't tell me that's not a conflict of interest. Don't tell me you didn't do your due diligence because you still have a working relationship with the company that still loves Vince McMahon. His family is still there. His yes men are still there. On some level, that perverse sort of culture that Vince McMahon established all those years ago, all those decades ago, still permeates. It's better by all accounts and people you talk to. But this dude is an absolute monster. No question about it.
Yeah, I forget who we talked to about it the other day, but in life, you encounter people that you either see or you find out they're horrifying,
yeah,
but they were good to you. And you hear that often where people are like, well, he was good to me. I mean,
a lot of athletes and a lot of former stars are going out and towing that company line. John Cena's kind of alluded to it. The Rock.
John Cena was... He came off as a clown.
He talks out of both sides of his mouth. He is a master at saying everything and saying nothing at the same time. He's spineless.
Because not many guys went after him.
None.
I mean, Bret Hart doesn't like him, and Tony Atlas.
Yep, Bret Hart absolutely did. Afterwards, he's like, you know, I am on the record, and I'm paraphrasing here, so be kind to me, right? Yeah. But Bret basically said, I've said nice things about him in the past, mentioned him as a father figure. We certainly had our issues, but I didn't know the extent to which a lot of the stuff this went on. And he's like, he will be mentioned in the same breath as Jeffrey Dahmer. And he listed off all these notorious criminals, some murderers, you know what I mean, some terrorists, really bad people. And Bret Hart, usually, the excellence of execution, the best there was, the best there is, the best there ever will be, is usually on the right side of history. You know, he's a great Canadian ambassador. He's a great ambassador for the art and the business of professional wrestling. And it didn't surprise me he was the one dude to acknowledge his past. And, hey, I said some things that, you know, in hindsight aren't going to look great on me. I apologize for that. Let me set the record straight. This dude is terrible. So it's a scandal that's shaking the industry, and it will continue to. Yeah. Because, again, the ripple effects are still there. Triple H, his son-in-law, is still there. They still show his daughter on TV. I made the case when this happened, and I got so much blowback. You know my friends. You know the people that, you know, my little pro wrestling group that I hang out with. I was like, they need to blow up the WWE entirely. Strip the name, strip the brand, rebrand it, and fire anybody who had a high-ranking position under that company. If you're serious about being a publicly traded company, if you're serious about giving the proper entertainment to the next however many decades of fans, that name, those three letters are not that important.
Yeah, right
not
now, it's what's the overarching company's name? Is it TKO?
Yeah, it's TKO
with Dana White and UFC.
Correct. Joint. I don't.
And what?
I don't know.
The fans don't care any other sport. They care about sport. They care about the entertainment.
Yeah. They care about the characters they're invested in. But if you made a switch,
they care about real life.
Right. Well, if you, you're not wrong.
And are the fans the ones who are investing? And then for the investors, if they have a buffer in between, or like, oh, you know, rapey, this, that, like, it's not a great look, but it goes away in like 3 days.
Yes. Well, 3 years.
Does it make money? Yes. Well, then I'm good.
Well, you're not wrong, right? Because they brought The Rock. They brought Dwayne Johnson over. They made a big to-do on Wall Street and made him a part of the board, right? This is all coming out after the scandal was hitting with McMahon. They're doing their best to erase Vince McMahon and that legacy. But for me, for what I know, and it is such a dark, twisted, horrible part of that history that I can't look at the WWE and not immediately think of Vince McMahon. And I can't think of Vince McMahon and not immediately think of the WWE. So I would ask you, is that all worth it? To keep that pain and that suffering and that brand going at that level, to just change a name and to change a culture, I don't think it would have been the worst thing in the world. But nobody agreed with me when I said that. But I still stand by it. I don't think it's worth it.
I'll be a bootlicking scumbag on the way back. So stick around. Ryan McKinnell's with us because WrestleMania is coming here next year. Come and watch it, everybody.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas.
All right, we got Thursday Night Football on. Vikings with a 7-0 lead early, 9 minutes in. Check that, 6 minutes in. Game's at SoFi. I told you during the break, I'm really not objective on the Rams because I like this Rams group. I'm a fan of the boy genius who's becoming not so much a boy. Still one of the youngest coaches in the league in McVay.
Still younger than me, I think, right?
But this was the team
You
know, that I was picking to go to the Super Bowl with Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp back. So Nacua, last minute, about 3 hours ago, off the IR. We'll see how good. I just saw Nacua had a catch, but we'll see how effective those guys are. But moving forward, I think they can have a bounce-back season now. You buy the Vikings? Because I want to get to the Bears. I want to get to the NFC North. I'll make the argument the Vikings are the worst team in the NFC North.
Well?
At the end.
Not
right now.
Well, I do think there's an element of – first of all, full disclosure, I never believed the Vikings. And I don't know. I don't know if it was Kirk Cousins. I know they have great defense. I love Kyle Rudolph. Love Harrison Smith. Obviously, Notre Dame guys. They played us tough. There's a mental block with me and them, and I don't know what it is. Now I can tell you what it is this year. I don't believe Sam Darnold. He does not inspire confidence in me. Now I do. Listen, if you're asking me who the pretenders are in the NFC North, and this is going to hurt me to say it, but I have to be logical, right? It's the Chicago Bears. They haven't proven with this team enough for me. They've beaten some very average to bad teams, and it's been awesome. I was at the Carolina game. It was amazing. Like, I am fully on board with the weapons that Caleb Williams had. I'm fully on board with Caleb Williams himself. I love this defense. I love everything about the Bears. I think they're better than the Vikings, right? I do think they're not the worst team in the NFC North, but if I'm being fair off of prior history and obviously the years they've had, you know, leading up to this, I can't fully say without confidence that they're not the worst, right? It's a great division, best division in the NFL. I'm happy that it is the way it is because it just feels good to have a return on some level to normalcy for this division because, the Bears have been so bad for so long. It feels good. But listen, if you're going to say the Vikings are the worst in the North, I would have no problem with that, and it starts at the quarterback position. I'm infinitely more invested in, I believe, infinitely more in Caleb Williams than I do Sam Darnold. As a leader, as a talent, as an athlete, everything.
What do you think of some of the chatter this week about the boss, Caleb Williams? DJ Moore was saying, hey, get a little bossy there. I like it. I like the leadership.
And I love it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I love that they're acknowledging it in the media because I'll tell you what, DJ Moore for those first couple of games had some boo-boo face going on. And we weren't really sure. And people in Carolina are like, that's the way this dude is. You know, he's different. He's quirky. I wouldn't read too much into it. And it's true. Like, the media loves to put cameras on people when they got certain looks about them. So the fact that both of them and Caleb kind of, you know, acknowledged it in his press conference. He's like, yeah, a little spicy, huh? Like,
this is the way quarterbacks are supposed to be. DJ Moore said he's been a leader, so he said, what I mean by bossy is if we don't hit something in practice, he's going to tell us how we need to run it.
Yeah.
To me, as a rookie quarterback, if you're the number one pick, you do have to come in, and you got to feel your way out. You know, feel your way around. You can't be a jackass, but you've got to command some respect, and that's what every quarterback is expected, the good ones, are expected to do. So I don't care that he's a rookie. Beginning of the year, there was so much, and again, a lot of this is weird times. We just find enemies, and because he paints his nails, and he's
a
press
conference. I hate that that's a talking point.
It's like, he's not a real leader. Shut up.
Steve, I want nothing more. Like, I want a Bears Super Bowl for obvious reasons. I want to party with my friends. I want validation. I want to experience that. But I want Caleb Williams to get that fan base and the people that are against the nail. I want to see him paint their nails. I want him to be so good and win so many Super Bowl MVPs that you got these old garage dads from the South Side that are like, I'm painting my nails. Change the culture while you're also changing the game in Chicago. I am 100% with you.
If Caleb Williams is winning in Chicago, and say he wins a second Super Bowl, and he comes out, and you know what? I've signed a deal with this plastic surgeon. I'm getting breast augmentation, and I'm wearing dresses. That's what I'm wearing whenever I want.
Right. You'd have half the stadium wearing dresses and doing the exact same thing.
Looks good to me. Are you winning? I'm a Jets fan. If we had a quarterback with huge cans and the guy won Super Bowls, who cares?
Exactly. No, I made the joke, right?
I stood up and started yelling at you. I'm sorry.
We were talking
about, emotional.
Do you remember when the Raiders came? And I was joking at the time when the deal got announced and they signed Gruden for that huge contract. They're like, what do you think, Big Mac? And I'm like, well, we're never going to go without water. And you're like, wait, what? And I was like, no, listen, the only thing this country cares about is the NFL. So if we have a team in Las Vegas, we'll never go dry. There'll never be a drought. We're never going to suffer. We got an NFL team, right? Right? If this happens for Chicago, if Chicago were to, if Caleb Williams were to go out there and do that, the shift that he could do, right? Because the only thing that Chicago cares about is the Bears. You can talk about the Cubs. You can talk about the Blackhawks, Bulls, and White Sox. They all have their fan bases, and they are enormous. They all unify for the Chicago Bears. That is a Bears town. So if you want to talk about changing vibes, changing culture, getting everybody to paint their nails and get breast augmentations,
I'm in.
A number one quarterback honestly could absolutely do that.
I will do it naturally. I don't cheat.
So yeah. Same. Yeah, dude, I don't know if you've noticed.
You and I are working.
I don't know if you've noticed, but since I got back from Indiana, I put on some extra weight.
Nope, didn't notice at all.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. You're a good friend.
Okay, now the rest of the division, and Ryan McKinnell's here. Rest of the division is annoying to me for the rest of the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
Well, no, I'm not going to say that. The Lions present for you an NFC North fan and a Bears fan. A Bears fan. Stop with the NFC North. The Lions are a great story.
They are.
And then they've got the big galoot, the Lummox, as the head coach. They're good again. Jared Goff was basically, you know, freaking curb stomped by a lot of NFL fans. People thought he was just done, overrated. He's good. They're a good story, and, you know, we'll see. Let's give it 5 years. Let's see if the GM Les Snead was the guy in Ramsland or was it Brad Holmes? Because what he's done in Lionsland, and he's had a lot of picks where people are like, well, that was stupid. That's not the right thing to do. And he's like, eh, okay. Yeah, it's not the right thing to do. They're good.
They are very good. Really good. And you said, like, well, you said you're a Bears fan. Let's leave the NFC North stuff aside. No, I am an NFC North fan. They play outdoors. I mean, okay, the Lions obviously went indoors and they do what they do, but you still got the Vikings went indoors recently. You still got the Packers.
They play hard-nosed football.
They do.
And sometimes it's cold.
And it's sometimes it's cold. Right. Well said. But there is a camaraderie there, right? Like if you come from that area, like there's not a lot of difference from Cleveland to Detroit to Chicago to Milwaukee, right? Like these are all very industrial, hard-nosed blue-collar towns, even Pittsburgh, that whole belt, really starting with Pittsburgh and going west. They're all very, very similar. They've got very similar fan bases. But when a losing team, and not just a losing team, I saw a tweet the other week on Twitter, obviously, that said and asked a question, who is the most what-if athlete of all time? And I said, well, they both played football. There's two of them, and they both played football in Detroit. And I was referencing Calvin Johnson and Barry Sanders. And for as great as they are, Hall of Famers, arguably the two best at their position, they both quit when they were like 30 and 29. Because Detroit is so bad as a football town, as a franchise, that they could not bear to stick around and give any more of themselves to a team they love so much that they didn't even play for another team. There is something special in Detroit, and I will never not acknowledge that. And if we're out of the playoffs,
right,
and if they're in it, like last year, I'm pointing to my mom there, she bought a Detroit Lions shirt last year and was rocking with that team, and we were praying. I wanted to party here in Vegas so bad.
How about this guy here?
Oh, I would have been here.
At Circa. At
Derek Stevens, absolutely.
Derek was in San Francisco, took a whole plane of fans and friends. And
that's what I wanted.
We tried to recap it with him months later.
He couldn't talk about it.
He was like,
I get it.
I can't do it.
I still can't talk about the Colts-Bears Super Bowl from 06. I that stuff, when you don't have one, and I was two when 85 hit, so don't give me that. I know I'm wearing a New Orleans Super Bowl 20 jersey right now, a sweetness, Walter Payton. Don't give me that. I want to party with my friends. I want to celebrate. And all I wanted was a Chiefs-Lions Super Bowl here. I wanted to party with people that mortgaged their homes, right? I wanted to party with people that sold their cars, that sold their life to come and celebrate and win a Super Bowl here in Las Vegas. So I completely agree. You're right. The NFC North is a problem. They've got teams. And not only do they have teams that can win, they've got teams that are built for the future. Specifically, and we'll see about, you know, McCarthy and how that plays with Minnesota in the coming years, right? But when you look at Detroit and the way they're specifically, when you go to Green Bay and Jordan Love and obviously his big contract, and then you look at Caleb Williams and the Bears, it's a problem. It's hard-nosed football, outdoor football, and you're talking about teams with really good defenses and teams that also have a culture of winning with a fan base to back them. You're never going to have to worry about fans not showing up, right? You're never going to have to worry about lack of, you know, energy in the city. It's a good time to be an NFC North fan.
Why do we have to care so much?
That's a great question.
Because I'll roll in the Jets and the Raiders fans.
Yeah. Oh, I wish I could say I feel sorry for you, but my feelings on Aaron Rodgers.
I know.
I wish I could root for
you. The entire country should root against him, and we're pathetic.
You said it.
And then the Raiders.
I just want you to know I felt bad for you.
The Raiders.
You're the first person I think about every time the Jets lose. First me, I'm happy, and then I'm sad for you because I know you don't want to be there.
And then the Raiders, second best player, chooses to leave the Raiders and goes, I want to go there, to the Jets.
I can't blame him.
I mean, it could be slightly better, but it's just, it's East Coast Raiders, whatever, West Coast Jets. They're
Raiders.
Essentially the same franchise. And I love Mark Davis. I love that he's passionate. Believe me, he's a better owner than Woody Johnson.
Yes.
Woody's a jackass.
Yeah, he's better owner than Jerry Jones.
Mark tries.
Yep.
He just hasn't gotten it right, but he tries. But I do feel for Raider Nation. You know, they try to be positive every year. They're enthusiastic. They're optimistic in the preseason.
Some of the best fans in sports.
Yep.
In terms of dedication and, I mean, going out and painting your faces and dressing up every Sunday like it's Halloween. I don't make light of that. That is dedication. Yep. And they follow them every – I'll tell you this. If the Chicago Bears, right, because they're talking about a new stadium in Arlington and how that plays out, and Jerry Reinsdorf and my White Sox are talking about potentially selling the team. I root for my city. And I've been in Vegas 17 years and I love Las Vegas, but I can't change what home is.
Nah.
Chicagoland is home to me. And if the White Sox went to Nashville, guess what? I'm a Cubs fan. If the Bears went to, you know, a second team in Miami or South Florida, whatever, right? I would not be a Bears fan. I don't know who I'd be a fan of, but it wouldn't be the Bears. I root for Chicago and Chicago only, right? So when these Raiders fans, Raider Nation, and it is truly a nation, follow them from stop to stop to stop, it is... I don't understand it. Like I applaud it, but I would never do it. If my team left my city and the stadium that I grew up going to and eating hot dogs and going with my parents and my friends and all those memories, if they left,
that's
it would rip my heart out.
Ultimate betrayal.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. So the Vegas Raiders are a very specific case. It's very unique. They're storied and held in such high regard, and their tradition is unlike any other. But for whatever reason, and maybe it's Mark Davis's loyalty to guys like John Gruden and other people, I'm not really sure. I don't know where the disconnect is happening, but this is a team that should not be as bad as they are. And I don't understand the move of going into the season with Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew. You have to do better than that. You have to. You are a prime franchise in the NFL. You are worth billions of dollars. These cannot be the figureheads of your organization.
Let's do a giveaway here. We got Cypress Hill tickets this weekend. Downtown Las Vegas Event Center, DLVC.com. A couple tickets right now. Actually, you know what? Do you want to do two pair or not, Griff? Just one?
Nah, let's do two. Let's give the people what they want.
Oh, let's do it. Caller 6 and 7, 6 and 7, 364-1100, 364-1100, caller number 7. And I will get to that bootlicking because I do want to talk about, I love Vegas, so I want to see events do well here. It was announced, WrestleMania 2025 will be in Sin City.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
UFC 308 this weekend, the Fight House, Circa, Stadium Swim, spectacular venue. Although not a night this time.
No.
Not a night.
Still going to be a vibe.
Main card 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
Starts at 11, and the main event's awesome. Max Holloway, who is 32, but it looks like he's 61. He's got wear and tear, but he was never like, he's a fighter. He looked like that at like 18.
He did, and I remember you might have been there that night because I was, and that was during your era of Steve Cofield around the fight game regularly. His first fight at the UFC was 18 against Dustin Poirier,
yep.
And I remember that night being like, man, when they get their man bodies, when they grow into their frame, they are going to be problems. And then obviously the Diamond and Blessed go on to have two of the most historic careers in their respective divisions, and he's still at it.
He also fought Conor McGregor early, didn't he?
Yeah.
He would whip him now.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people I feel like would whip Conor McGregor now,
right.
But Max Holloway being front and center. And I'll tell you what, if Max wins against Topuria 48 hours on Saturday afternoon, I would not be surprised if the UFC tried to finagle McGregor's next fight being a title fight against Max Holloway. He's done nothing to deserve it, right? Other than be
Is that This belt, though, is 145, right?
Exactly. Now, it would be really hard for Conor to make, but for the money being right, for the moment being right, I think he could do it one more time. I mean, it would kill him.
Couldn't he just put his BMF belt on the line and not the 145?
Yes, he could. And you know what? And you know what? They might just do that anyway. Yeah. But again, that fight, and you know what? Even if Max loses in a rousing effort, right, in a fight of the year candidate or whatever, he keeps that momentum going from UFC 300 and knocking out Justin Gaethje, they could still do McGregor. But it's wild. The dude hasn't fought in 3 years, and that shadow of McGregor still looms so large over multiple divisions. Yep. It's fascinating. It really is.
Anyone who gets him knows it's going to be a big money fight. Yeah. Probably their biggest fight.
Mike Chandler waited multiple years.
I mean, how crazy is that? Whatever. Yep. Give me the Dana White sound here. He's in Abu Dhabi. He's doing a press conference for slap fighting. And some dude wants to ask about the dream heavyweight fight, which of course would be John Jones and Francis Ngannou.
Of course.
Seeing a fight between John Jones and Francis Ngannou.
I think fans are dreaming about John Jones and Tom Aspinall. That's the fight I think they're dreaming about.
Yes.
I think that if Stipe wins the fight, or John Jones wins the fight, the way that both of those guys are wired, I think they fight Aspinall.
I like...
Stipe Miocic is definitely wired. He's held together by plaster and wires, like paper mache. His knees don't work, his back doesn't work. What are we talking about? I hope people after 20 years are wise to what Dana is saying and doing. He's just devaluing a guy that's no longer in his company and changing the narrative.
He's in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
I think normally he would have ripped that reporter's head off, but he's in Abu Dhabi. It's an international reporter. He's nice, Dana.
Yeah.
But
got his best behavior,
and
Dana.
I think Aspinall's an interesting fight. Yes. I don't think Aspinall is known by many people. I think Ngannou is, and you can say, MMA, he was in and still is in boxing in high-profile fights.
He's millennial heavyweight champion of the UFC. He hasn't lost. Right. He never lost his title.
That's a fight we want to see.
And he almost, in my mind, public perception, he beat Tyson Fury. I know he did it on the scorecards. He went out there. He knocked him down. He controlled the fight. If that's pride rules, go back to pride fighting, right? If that's who won the fight at the end of the fight, Francis Ngannou won that. And I didn't, and I'm, Francis is a friend. I love Francis Ngannou. I think he's a fantastic human being. I didn't give him a shot in hell at winning that fight, right? I talked about it on the air. The fact that he did that was one of the most amazing things that I've ever seen in sports. Honestly, there's the two most incredible things I've seen in sports. Vegas Golden Knights going to the Stanley Cup in their first year. Francis Ngannou giving Tyson Fury hell. Now, obviously, he goes out and he loses to Anthony Joshua. But he never lost his UFC heavyweight title. He left to go make actual money in boxing, right? And now he's in the PFL. He won on Saturday. Lost his son. Like, it's just this incredible story. Leaving Africa in the middle of the night, broke, destitute, going to France, being homeless, doing everything that he has done. What a fantastic story. And Dana is right. Tom Aspinall and John Jones is a fantastic fight. But if you're going to tell me that's bigger, first of all, John Jones, the greatest fighter to ever live. 100% my GOAT. Never convinced me otherwise. Francis Ngannou, scariest fighter to ever live. You're going to have the scariest mixed martial artist of all time versus the greatest mixed martial artist of all time, and it's operating in a time frame and in a universe or a window where we could have that, but you didn't give that to us? That will never not be a bad taste left in my mouth from that. Never.
Back in the back.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
All right, so WrestleMania 2025 is coming to town. the wrestlers did a tour of Vegas at various media spots. I don't even know. What would be the main event? Like, what's lining up as the biggest fights? I don't even know who the biggest stars are right now in the WWE.
Still Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns is leading the pack. Cody Rhodes is the champion. But it's a three-year story plus of the bloodline. They're still doing it. It's a fantastic story. Best story they've ever told. I believe that.
I liked it.
Yeah.
Especially, with The Rock involved as well. But there's someone on the show who
Not here. Why do you even have to wait?
I don't know.
Why do you even have to evoke the spirit?
Because I fought with him last year, and I'm like, I like this story.
Yeah, he sucks. Yeah, Adam Hill, talking to you. You suck. I wish you were here, though. I'd love to yell at you in your face. It'll be Roman Reigns, probably Cody Rhodes, and perhaps, I don't know how they're going to do this. Could be a triple threat with The Rock. I don't know. The Rock is going to be involved. It looks like The Rock is going to be involved. He said he's not. I don't believe that. Stone Cold Steve Austin could be involved. There's rumors of that. But we do know, and I think the marquee for this for a lot of people, is going to be John Cena's last match. He's billing it. He's actually going to retire after this. That is a huge deal for the WWE and for wrestling fans all across the world, but specifically here in Las Vegas, because that's going to bring them in. That is going to be an event, a weekend.
John Cena is a crossover star.
He is.
Will say, I don't know how this even happened today. I mean, I know how it happened, but it's funny you mentioned Stone Cold. The SO came over to me today. Well, whatever. I'm working in the office, and she's like, look at this. Do you know this guy, Steve Austin? He likes cats.
Oh yeah,
I'm like, what is happening here?
Oh yeah, he's a big, cat guy.
Really?
Oh yeah, you gotta give old the old Stone Cold the follow on Instagram.
I gotta follow. All right. Dinner decision coming up. Hey. We're going somewhere here, either Barry's or what else you want to. What are we considering?
80 Easter berries. We'll figure it out. Okay.
And you're
I'm excited.
You're a big fan of both, right?
I'm a big fan of Circa in general, and I'm not just saying that because I'm sitting here. This is really like the only place I hang out. So I'm in my happy place, man. I'm in my
there
cocoon,
he is,
my safe space.
Ryan McKinnell. You can hear him on SiriusXM on Fight Nation channel 156. There you go, Griffin. See you, Mateo. Great job. Get on down here.